So a bit of a surprise yesterday. We're going to talk about extraordinary rendition and the Barack Obama administration's view on whether individuals can sue the government and private corporations. But first, we're following the stimulus bill as it gets worked out. Call and tell us how the money should be spent. And take a look in your community. Specifically, what does your town need? A new hospital? A new industry? Tell us where you live, what you need. What will get people that you know, including yourself, back to work? Injections of cash into your community. It's a real stimulus, and we want to hear about it at The Takeaway at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytakeatthetakeaway.org. Once you see the stimulus in action, if anything does happen in your area, we need you to track the spending. So go to our website, thetakeaway.org, and take part in our project Shovel Watch. It literally tries to answer the question by crowdsourcing all of our listeners, where is the stimulus money going in your town? So, as I mentioned a moment ago, while campaigning for President, Barack Obama was pretty critical of the Bush administration's treatment of detainees. But now his administration is invoking the state secret privilege, as the Bush administration did, to uphold the dismissal of a federal lawsuit involving extraordinary rendition and torture. Here with us to discuss it is ACLU staff attorney Ben Wiesner, who argued the case for the plaintiffs. Ben, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
Is it Wiesner or Wiesner?
It's actually Wiesner.
Thank
so
you. Of course.
Third time's a charm.
So, Ben, explain, first of all, what this lawsuit is. If I'm not mistaken, it's a suit, among other things, against Boeing.
It is a lawsuit against a subsidiary of Boeing that was, according to the New Yorker's Jane Mayer, the CIA's travel agent. This was a corporation that essentially organized all of the CIA's clandestine flights around the world where our clients and other foreign citizens who were abducted off the streets of various countries were chained to the floors of planes, flown to dungeons, really, some in countries like Morocco and Egypt that are notorious for their torture, and others in the CIA's own black site prisons. These people were disappeared, essentially, kidnapped. Their families were not notified. They were not given lawyers. They were not charged with crimes. They were tortured very brutally. Some of them have now been released without being charged, and others are still being held in prisons throughout the world, including Guantanamo.
Now, let's just stipulate for the moment that there may be a case where a government has an interest in extraordinary rendition and taking people to so-called black sites to interrogate them. But for these particular plaintiffs, what is it about their treatment and what happened to them that specifically bears on this case?
Well, actually, I want to take issue with that stipulation. I certainly don't join it. I don't think the government ever has a legitimate interest in abducting someone without any legal process, holding them without charge, and interrogating them without restraint. But at the core of this lawsuit are the torture allegations by our plaintiffs. And they join a growing number of torture victims in various cases who have tried to hold government officials and corporations accountable for what they endured. And not one of them has yet had his day in court. And that's something that people don't realize. The Bush administration and now the Obama administration have used technicalities, really, secrecy claims, immunity claims, in order to keep every single one of these victims out of court.
Well, in this particular case, those claims were upheld by the courts which have ruled very much against the Bush administration on other matters involving detainees. Why in this particular case do state secrets take precedent as far as the federal courts are concerned at this point?
You're asking the wrong person, because I'm also bewildered by the treatment that this lawsuit and other lawsuits have taken. The allegations at the core of these lawsuits are not secret. Our plaintiffs' allegations have been thoroughly aired. They've been investigated by foreign governments. Some of our plaintiffs have already received compensation from other governments for their secondary roles in all of this.
And so the Obama administration, when they went into court under Eric Holder, a very different Justice Department than under George W. Bush, what was the argument that surprised you?
Well, again, this is the same argument that's been used. What surprised us was who was making the argument this time, not the argument itself. And the argument is that, you know, these are critical foreign intelligence programs and that confirming or disclosing any of these details in court could somehow harm national security. But you end up in this very odd situation where the only place in the world where these allegations, where these claims can't be discussed is in a federal court where they most belong. And I will say this about the Obama people. I'm not trying to suggest moral equivalence between an administration that ordered torture serially, that opened black sites, that ran Guantanamo as a gulag all these years, and an administration that ended those. Where we differ with the Obama administration, and this is very critical, is on the question of accountability. And I really think that the administration would rather sweep the last 7 years under the rug and move on and get along And the problem is that's not how it works in our system. Victims deserve to be compensated. Perpetrators have to be held accountable. And if these cases aren't allowed to go forward, that won't happen.
But isn't it also the case that it is the responsibility of a new administration to protect the secrets as a matter of continuity of previous administrations, whether they disagree with the particular practices of that previous administration?
You know, we're not trying to reveal the identity of the next Valerie Plame here. The question is whether this suit should be allowed to begin. The state secrets privilege can be used during the litigation to block the disclosure of real secrets. Here it's being used at the outset as an immunity doctrine to throw the whole case out. And so if there are genuine secrets involved in our factual allegations, those will be protected during the course of a lawsuit. We're really not trying to harm anybody here.
Well, then what led you to believe that the Obama administration would take a different tack here and basically reverse a pretty longstanding policy of the U.S. government of having state secrets take precedence in these kinds of cases?
Again, it's not a longstanding policy that the state secrets privilege is used to torpedo entire lawsuits before they can get off the ground. That really was an innovation of the Bush regime. And what led us to believe that there would be a change of course is a number of things. Number one, President Obama's commitment to transparency in government, his specific criticism of the overuse and abuse of the state secrets privilege, and then his orders on the 22nd of January to close Guantanamo, to shutter the CIA's black sites, to end the extraordinary rendition program. Without these programs, you know, the need to protect any legitimate or illegitimate secrets that might have happened in the last 7 years seems to me to be eviscerated. I mean, why do we need to preserve the efficacy of a program that the president has abolished as illegal?
Well, what about the case of the Boeing subsidiary? I mean, if the government called you in the night and said, hey, we need a plane, don't ask any questions, just show up at this airport, is that company liable for what happens to those detainees later on?
Well, we're not talking about a company that just supplied a plane and didn't do anything. We're talking about a company that, according to published reports and foreign investigations, filed dummy flight plans for the CIA to conceal what was going on, openly discussed within the company that these were the CIA's torture flights and they were profiting handsomely from this. So they knew what they were doing. And they have an opportunity to defend themselves if we're able to go forward in trial.
And so if we were to go forward in trial, basically the company would have the argument, look, we were working for the CIA, everything's supposed to be secret, and this is what we were getting paid for, period, the end, whereas you would say, no, you should have known that this was a moral issue and that you were basically violating the civil rights of these defendants.
Anyone who is knowingly complicit in a program that transports human beings to dungeons where they're brutally tortured and is making a profit from it, I think should be held accountable. If they have a different view, then we should air that and litigate it in open court.
An argument that you would like to make in open court and have not yet been able to make, but you've been able to do it here on The Takeaway. Ben Wisner, staff attorney at the American Civil Liberties Union, thank you very much.
I appreciate it.